You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Oakland Raiders podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into another episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast. It is Tuesday, March the 19th, 2019. I know it seems like it's been forever since the last Locked On Raider podcast. I apologize for that. Man, Friday got super crazy busy at the radio station. And Monday, man, I was going through it with allergies. And I don't know if you can hear it right now in my voice, but I'm still dealing with allergies. I don't know. I want it to get warm outside. I want the season to change. But the minute the season changes, all of a sudden allergies kick in. So yeah, on Monday, I couldn't even concentrate. I could barely do my radio show on Monday. I was so hard to concentrate just because I felt like I was sneezing every couple seconds. And good thing I'm dark because my nose was red on Monday. But nobody could see it because I'm a dark dude, so it's all good. Anyway, that's enough about me. Let's talk some Raiders. That's what we're here for, right? So since the last time that we actually talked, and I got a fun show for you today, and I got an exciting show for you on Wednesday as well. Matter of fact, on Wednesday, I'll tell you right now, going to have a special guest. We're going to have Melissa Jacobs. She's founder and managing editor of thefootballgirl.com. She has a really good piece that she put out. It was on Twitter probably late last week about John Gruden and the Raiders and the plan and the fact that she didn't think John Gruden had a plan when he first took over the Raiders, but now she could see it. And, you know, a lot of these talking heads and a lot of people are starting to come around on what John Gruden trying to get done with the Raiders. And so real interesting conversation that I'm gonna have with her. So that'll be on Wednesday's show. But coming up on today's show, got calls off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. That'll be in segment number 3. You know how I get down. 707-654-4693. It'll be about a variety of different subjects, just because I've had a lot has gone on since the last time we had a episode of the podcast. So definitely want to get those calls in segment number 3. Segment number 2, I'm going to talk about Antonio Brown, not only his press conference, but just the feedback and the blowback that's come from a lot of Steeler fans. And I know we had a call last week about Steeler fans being angry and just kind of being hateful towards Antonio Brown. But man, I'll tell you, after that press conference, and I know I tweeted out a couple things about how I was impressed with what he did. And man, people are coming back with some venom. And so I just want to kind of talk about that in segment number 2. I'm excited about Antonio Brown, and a lot of Steeler fans, I think that they know what Antonio Brown still has, and I think that they realize that a lot of the problems inside the Pittsburgh organization have to do with number 7, that's Big Ben, and that's why they're so angry about Antonio Brown. But I'll talk about that in segment number 2. Here in segment number 1, just want to talk about different news and notes that have gone on since the last time that we did talk. And look, had an episode on Thursday, I believe, and we didn't have a Friday episode, so since then to now, a lot of things have gone on with the Silver and Black. Jordy Nelson and A.J. McCarron both have been released. They were released due to salary, even though, you know, Jordy Nelson had restructured his deal at the end of December to better suit the Raiders. But anyway, he's out of there. A.J. McCarron, he was too much money to carry on even as a backup, even though it was anticipated he was going to stay on, since both John Gruden and Mike Mayock talked about him at the combine and said that they liked what they had in him. Both guys, the Raiders are very interested in bringing back, just at a much cheaper rate. I don't know if it's going to get done, but both Jordy Nelson and A.J. McCarron, they're both out of there. Jordy Nelson, matter of fact, has 4 to 5 interested teams in him right now. He'll be visiting with Seattle later today. They were interested in him last year, but the Raiders got him first and didn't let him leave town. So I'd actually be surprised if he gets out of Seattle without being signed, but we'll see. Like I said, there's about 4 or 5 teams, including the Raiders, that are interested in signing him. And it was funny, man, seeing on Twitter when Adam Schefter tweeted out that the Raiders were interested in him, people were saying, but the Raiders just cut him. Why would they be interested in him? Duh, it was a salary cap move. So they would obviously want to bring him back, but like to bring him back at a lesser deal. And I wouldn't mind seeing him back at a lesser deal. That'd be okay. I also, if he doesn't come back, I'm okay with that as well, because Green Bay Packers, that organization, they don't let guys go that often that can still contribute at a high level. I mean, if you look at the history of the Green Bay Packers, when they let guys go, most of the time they're pretty much towards the end of their career and they're costing too much money, so it's time to make a decision. I mean, even when they let Charles Woodson walk in free agency, it was pretty much like, okay, he's a done deal for what we need with him. Now, he was really good for the Raiders and did a lot of good things for the Raiders, trying to help turn that organization around when he returned. But still, when the Packers let Charles Woodson finally walk, they were already done with what Charles Woodson could do for them, and that was help deliver him a Super Bowl ring. So I think that they got, you know, the best out of him. A.J. McCarron, he's actually visiting with the Texans. They might sign him as a backup to Deshaun Watson, and if he signs there, that's fine. As long as they get a decent backup, that would be fine. I wouldn't mind. I'll say it right now. I wouldn't mind if they went and got somebody later in the draft. I really wouldn't be mad if they got someone in the later rounds of the draft. Tyree Jackson is a guy that I'm very intrigued by with Buffalo. I don't know where he's going to get drafted. I don't know when he's going to get drafted. I think he's a kind of a project guy, but I've heard guys tell me that, hey, he's going to get selected in the second round, maybe the third round at the latest. I'm thinking more of like the fifth round. But I wouldn't mind if the Raiders drafted him at some point in the draft just to be like a backup guy at some point. You know, not going to be a guy that's going to push Derek Carr for the starting position. But something about Tyree Jackson just kind of intrigues me. I don't know if it's the fact that he just looks like he's a very coachable dude. He has all the tools. Obviously, he's a big guy. You know, he has a strong arm. He's very athletic, but he just seems like a guy that'd be very coachable, a guy that Gruden would kind of like. So I kind of like Tyree Jackson a lot out of Buffalo, but we'll see what happens with that backup position. But right now, A.J. McCarron, he's doing his little free agent rounds, and we'll see where he ends up. Donald Penn and the Raiders, they mutually split. This is something that was pretty much expected. I said it earlier in the year that I felt like, you know, he was going to end up being let go, cut. Eventually, from what it sounds like, is that they wanted to bring him back, but they probably wanted to keep him on the right tackle position because the letter that he penned and said that, you know, he wanted to still play and he was going to play in 2019, he said he had a lot left in his tank and he had the capital LT, so that meant like left tackle. So I get it. You know, he took one for the team in 2018 and played the right side, even though he had never done that in his career, but he did it for the team. And I got to respect that, man. I said it before. I give Donald Penn a lot of credit, a lot of respect for what he was able to do the 5 years that he was with the Raiders. Also, in 2018, he actually sacrificed and said, no, I'll move over to the right side. You can keep the young rookie Colton Miller at the left side, and I'll do my best. I'll give it the old, you know, the old college try. And he did. It didn't suit him very well. He didn't do very good. He ended up getting injured, ended up on IR, but he did try. And he did, you know, really support the team, even though he didn't have much to do to actually support him on the field. But he did have their back and does believe in John Gruden and thinks John Gruden's going to get things turned around. And it's funny, side note, it's funny that so many people believe now that, oh, John Gruden's got things going in the right direction for the Raiders. So fast how all of a sudden the conversations change, right? From John Gruden has no idea in hell what he's doing to, hey, John Gruden's got the right game plan. He's got the right blueprint. He's going to get this thing turned around for the Raiders. Boy, that sure turned real quick, didn't it? That's funny. That's funny. And again, that's something I'll be talking to Melissa Jacobs about on Wednesday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. And I'm sure that's going to be a really good listen. I can't wait for that interview myself. But yeah, much respect to Donald Penn. Wherever he lands in 2019, I hope the best for him. Again, he was a Raider through and through. He did everything he could for the organization while he was there for the 5 years. Did a hell of a job protecting Derek Carr for the most part. So can't be mad at Donald Penn at all. Also, J.J. Nelson has been signed. Now, he's a guy who can stretch the field. I don't look at this signing as anything major. I mean, really, honestly, he has 7 catches in 2018 with the Cardinals. He's never had more than 34 catches in a season and never more than 568 yards in a season. Matter of fact, to go a step further, he has 81 career catches for 1,439 yards and 10 touchdowns. If, and that's an if, he makes a 53-man roster, he'll be able to keep defenses honest with his speed. You look at, you got AB, you got Tyrell Williams, and you got Nelson. They all have plenty of speed. They all can get down the field. So defenses will have to be honest. They won't be able to cheat over and cover up AB with two defenders, even though they'll try leaving Tyrell Williams open. You know what I mean? Like, they'll have to play honest if you have all that speed on the field. But again, J.J. Nelson has to make the 53-man roster. And that's something I want you to think about every time the Raiders sign somebody, especially from here on out. Anybody they sign, there's no guarantee that they're even going to make the 53-man roster. One guy that I do believe will make the 53-man roster, Dwayne Harris, special teams ace. He re-signed on a one-year deal. He was responsible for the Raiders' most exciting play of 2018, if you remember. If you don't, here it is right here.
Bobby Wadman on to punch away. He drives it deep over the head of Harris. Let's see if they can pin it inside the 10. As good job by the coverage unit, Harris says, I'm going to play this because I can. And look at the return he gets. What a smart move by Harris as he gets free about it, Raider Nation?
Wow.
Yeah, he was a very head smart guy. He's a veteran, has been in the league for a very long time, knows the rules ins and out, and he made a few good special team plays for the Raiders in 2018. A guy that I think John Gruden really, really likes. He talked about how much he likes and how smart he is as a player, knows all the rules. So yeah, Dwayne Harris, I definitely expect to be back in 2019. He signs that one-year deal with the Raiders. And Josh Moreau, he also signed with the Raiders. He was a defensive end from the Giants. He's a depth signing at best. Another guy that I'd be even surprised if he makes a 53-man roster. He has a fit in Gunther's defense. He only has 3 career sacks, so he's really a guy that's going to play the run really well, but a guy who's got to prove that he's worthy of a roster spot. So just because he signed a contract don't mean that he's going to be on the team. So right now, if you're counting, as far as defensive ends go on the Raiders roster, they have 4 career sacks between Arden Key and Josh Moreau. Again, they still got some more work to do. They still need to address the edge. They really haven't done that in free agency. They're going to have to go heavy in the draft for the edge rushers. But at the same time, you would like to see them grab a guy that could do some things, some real things, that's proven to be a good guy to get to the quarterback. You'd like to see that, and the Raiders have not done that in free agency. That's the only thing that they're missing out on as of right now. Also, before we move on any further, and I know I need to take a break. I know it's getting a little bit longer. But what I'd like to say, Vontaze Burfict was released by the Bengals on Monday. And I know someone's going to say, Q, you want to see him in silver and black? The answer is no. No, no, no. I've said it before. You don't have to jump at every guy that has a name or had a name at some point. And yes, I know he has ties to Paul Gunther. I totally get it. But no. He has not played a full 16-game season in the longest. He's only played a full 16-game season twice in his career. His rookie year in 2012 and 2013, and that was it. 2012, 16 games. 2013, 16 games. 2014, 5 games. 2015, 10 games. 2016, 11 games. 2017, 10 games. 2018, 7 games. Do you see what I'm saying here? His best ability is availability, and he is not available. So no, no, no. Not to mention, him and AB have issues. They have big beef from their times. Obviously, when AB was a Steeler and Vontaze was a Bengal, and all the dirty plays that he's done on the field, and you just don't need that foolishness. He's got a concussion history, probably a reason why he's a knucklehead on the field, and I had to say knucklehead so I didn't call him something else. But yeah, no, just say no to that dude. You do not want that guy. The issue, the beef that he has with Antonio Brown is similar to like Aqib Talib and Michael Crabtree. That thing came to blows on the field. You don't want to see those two dudes in the same locker room together. I can only imagine what kind of mess that would be. So, yeah, AB, great addition. Vontaze Burfict, just say no to. Matter of fact, say hell no. Paul Gunther don't need him. He can go out there and get some guy in the draft. You can get another guy. Get Zach Brown. I don't care. But just say no to Vontaze Burfict. So, that's all I got to say on that. I know I went a little bit long in segment number one, but it's all good. I've been missing for a couple days, so I need to make up for that. Coming up in segment number two, coming up next, going to talk about Antonio Brown, how the hate is real, and how I just don't get it. That's next on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are. Segment two of the Locked On Raiders podcast on this Tuesday, March the 19th, 2019. And I told you I was going to talk some Antonio Brown and how the hate is real. And really, man, it just kind of blows my mind how the hate is just so major for Antonio Brown. And that's coming from Steeler fans. And look, my dad is a Steeler fan. And I haven't talked to him yet about the whole Antonio Brown dust up. He's an old school Steeler fan, though. So he probably will be on the side of, hey, if they don't want to play by the Steelers rules, go ahead and tell them to kick rocks. Because he's, like I said, he's an old school dude. He don't go for all that flash and dash and all, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure Antonio Brown probably wasn't his favorite player anyway, but I'm going to have to ask him. I'm going to get him on the phone and give him a call one day and ask him what he thinks about the whole Antonio Brown, the whole way he got up out of Pittsburgh. But I'll tell you right now, man, there are some Steeler fans that are angry. Very, very angry. AB put up some billboards around Pittsburgh just to thank the fans. You know, hey, thank you for everything. All the 9 years that he spent in the league, and he spent them there in Pittsburgh, and all the memories and all the support and everything. So he did that just as a nice move and, you know, a nice thing to do and everything. Just on your way out of town, hey, thanks for everything, fans. It's not your fault. Never once did he talk bad about the fans, but for the fans, all of a sudden, man, I'm telling you, for example, Vic Tafer, he put up a picture of Antonio Brown, his kids that were at the press conference, his girl that was with him, and, you know, Mike Mayock and John Gruden, he put up a picture of that on Twitter, and I swear, underneath the picture, all the stuff I read, I was almost embarrassed for the fans that were saying that. Matter of fact, one thing came from a Twitter account from Steelers Nation, a Twitter handle, at Steeler Nation. 37.7 thousand followers, and Steeler Nation isn't even really a thing. But they were saying stuff on that tweet underneath that picture. They were just putting all kind of comments, and I get it, man. Twitter don't have no face. Twitter don't matter. Whoever's on that Steeler Nation tweet could tweet at me and talk bad to me, and that's fine. They don't know me, and I'll never know them. They could be sitting right next to me for all I know. But the thing about it, man, is they're talking about, oh, yeah, how come the rest of his kids aren't there? All kind of daggers that they were shooting at the family, like the kids and the girl. And look, man, I don't know the man's personal life. I don't know what he's got going on with his kids or whose kid's mom is this. And look, man, I got a couple different kids' moms. Hey, whatever. But just to bring in the kids and bring in the moms, I was just like, man, you could be mad at the player. And again, I don't really know why you're mad at the player, except for you lost a great one. And again, it's not the fans' fault. And he never ever said anything bad about the fans. He said Big Ben wasn't taking responsibility. The organization wasn't taking responsibility. He didn't feel like it was a very family organization or very family oriented, and he wanted to be somewhere else. So be it. Again, I get it. The fans are the angry ones. You're taking it to a whole nother level when you're on Twitter and you start attacking fans. And I get it, man. Twitter's not the end all be all. But I saw one tweet that said, oh, those little mixed breed colors or something like that will fit perfectly in Oakland. Are you serious? Like, that's where we're at right now? That's what you've taken that fandom. And also you're talking about the skin color of his kids. You don't have to be happy with the way that he got out of town. You don't have to. You can say that he quit on your team. That's fine. And so you can have a little bit of anger towards him. But I just don't get all the hate and the anger towards the kids and towards the girl. And regardless, if that's his girl this week and next week he's with another babe mama or maybe whatever, I don't care. That's not our business as fans. That's his business. That's what he's got to deal with. If he's got multiple baby mamas, guess what? He's got multiple child support payments. And if he does, that's fine too, because he's got $30 million guaranteed over the next 3 years from the Raiders. So I think that he'll have the money to get it covered. And if he doesn't, then shame on him. That's on him. But the dude was out there and he balled out for a 6th-round draft pick. He out there busted his tail. And yes, is he a little, can he be a little diva-like? Yes. Was I concerned about him going to the Raiders? Absolutely, 100%. But when I actually heard his side of the story, and I'm not saying his side of the story is 100% accurate, I'm just saying that's his voice speaking. He at least spoke on his side of this conversation. We've yet to hear from Big Ben. I haven't heard Big Ben come out and say why AB was such a bad guy. I haven't come out and heard why Big Ben thinks that everybody wants, not everybody, but all these big stars want to leave the Steelers. Le'Veon Bell sat out a whole year. He passed out 14 point something million dollars. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's decided not to go back to the Steelers, even though there was 14 point something million dollars on the table. They gave him a long-term deal offer, and he didn't take that. So obviously there was more going on than just AB being AB and, oh, he's selfish and, oh, he's a diva and all that. And hey, look, I get it. I'm listening to him and I'm giving him a chance because what I heard in that press conference and what I have seen so far on Twitter and the excitement in him looks like he's doing all the right things. Now, he could go into the Raiders and be good for about 4 or 5 games and all of a sudden the Raiders hit a rough streak and they start losing and he could turn into a total D-bag. I don't know. But I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt before I start just dogging him and attacking him. And again, man, I can't get down with that attack on the kids and all that. And I almost tweeted at those cats, but I know damn well that it was going to start some kind of stupid back and forth thing. And I'm one of those dudes that once I get going on Twitter back and forth, it's hard for me to stop. And so I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to waste my energy and have all that negative energy. And I'm telling you, man, it would have been nothing but negative energy. I'm trying to find that picture right now on Twitter as I speak, just because I want to just give you a couple examples of things that were said and how unnecessary they were, because I know I quoted them wrong. Hold on, I'm gonna get to it right now. I think maybe I'm not. I'm gonna try. This is not good radio. This is not good podcast either. But all right, Steeler Nation, that one I was telling you about on Twitter. Wait till they meet all his other girlfriends. Okay, whatever. Let's see. Bet AB's other baby mamas are feeling left out. Let's see, Mr. Big Chest. Let's see. Oh, him and Chelsea are together this week? Yep, him and Chelsea must be. Where's his other kids and moms? Where's the one I was looking for? There was one that was so bad about his... I feel like he has more kids than that. Oh, them little half-breeds will fit in perfectly in Oakland. That's the one. Them little half-breeds will fit perfectly in Oakland. That's from this guy named Gunna, or maybe it's a girl, at SERRIC35SAG. At SERRIC35SAG. Them little half-breeds will fit in perfectly in Oakland. That's what they said. That's crazy. That is absolutely crazy. Oh, he must be nice to her this week. She was just unfit a few months ago. Let the shenanigans begin. Like, that's not our business. That just kind of bothered me. So I just thought I'd go in on that. Look, the dude is saying all the right things. He said he's going to hold players accountable. He said he's going to go there to be a leader. Him and John Gruden clearly get along. If you see him on Twitter, him and Derek Carr obviously have a really good bond already. He's been working ever since he got to Oakland and had his press conference. Hell, he was working before he even had his press conference. So again, right now in March, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt for everything he does because it looks like he's doing the right thing. And I've already said that there's multiple sides to every story, but just in particular, this whole Big Ben, Antonio Brown situation and how I said that there's three sides to the story. So, for example, Big Ben has been accused of basically fumbling a ball. His former teammate Josh Harris over the weekend, I don't know if you heard it or saw it or whatever, read about it, but Josh Harris said that he intentionally fumbled the ball at the end of the game because he didn't like the play call that Todd Haley had called in, and Josh Harris actually had to recover the fumble. Well, it was talked about on that show Get Up on ESPN, and I'm not a big Get Up guy, but Ryan Clark was on it, and you all know that I've been a big Ryan Clark fan. I just like the guy he is, and I respect what he has to say, and obviously he was a staple in that Steeler organization for quite a long time, so he had a lot of good things to say about it. So here's Mike Greenberg, Ryan Clark on Get Up, and they're talking about this whole situation. I just want you to hear you this. It's about 5 minutes, and then I'll react to it.
2014, week 17, we were playing the Bengals. Again, that's the tweet from Josh Harris. Todd Haley called a run play with very little time left in the game. Ben wanted to kneel. He rolled his eyes in the huddle and then purposely fumbles the ball. I had to recover it. At that moment, I knew what kind of person he was. So that's the tweet, as you see there. Now, Sports Illustrated's Robert Klemko reached out to Harris about the tweet. Here's more of what he said. This is from Harris. Quote, Ben is a great player, but he doesn't try to connect with teammates. He's close with the O-line and maybe a few guys here and there, but for the most part, he stays to himself. During practice, when the team would be warming up, a lot of times he would be sitting on the water coolers reading the newspapers. So when Ben is critical of players publicly, without having a relationship with them, it can rub them the wrong way because they don't know if it is out of love or what. And when you call out all pro guys, that definitely doesn't sit well with them. Harris played one season with the Steelers in 2014. Ryan Clark played a lot of seasons with the Steelers. And first and foremost, before we get into all the rest of it, as I read the story this weekend, my first thought was, that can't be true. Ben Roethlisberger could not possibly intentionally fumble a football late in the game, right?
I think the problem is you don't really know. The Ben I know, the competitor I think he is, I wouldn't think he'd do something like that intentionally. To think that he hasn't done anything for me to think that he couldn't be that petty, though. And so, honestly, what Josh is saying is not far off from who Ben is. He was extremely close with Brett Kiesel during my time there. And I'll be honest, I have an affection for Ben that's different, an admiration for him that's different. Because while he was suspended, he went to watch my son Jordan play like a little league football game. So I feel differently about Ben and the type of person he is. And I think other people do. He's not a natural leader. Caring about people above himself is not something that comes easy to him. And so it's something he's had to work on. We had a players-only meeting my first year about Ben. Like the reason that the meeting was called was to talk about Ben and the way that he related to the team. And so he had to work on those things. But to say that a guy fumbled a ball intentionally is just hard for me to believe that.
I'm going to stay here, guys. I know we have a million other things planned, but this is more than I was expecting. So you had to have a team meeting about Ben. What specifically was it about Ben that the team needed to all get together and talk about?
It was just that people felt like guys who were there before me, because obviously it was the first year I was there, felt like the guy he was coming into the league and the way that he behaved in his first 2 years changed after they won a Super Bowl, changed after they won a championship. He distanced himself from the team. He wasn't a guy who ingratiated himself into the culture of the Pittsburgh Steelers and the people in that locker room. And I think that was something for him that he had to understand. And, you know, you talk about Josh Harris speaks about him being close to some of the old linemen. That was the same thing when I was there. I think the problem is we feel like all of your best players have to be leaders. But that's just not how it works.
What resulted from that meeting? Like, what did you guys do after that?
Went to work. You know, it was just
and
one of those things.
He wasn't in there, to be clear.
He was in the meeting.
He was in the meeting.
Okay. He was directly addressed. His name was called. It was the reason we talked. And I think it was one of those things where older players, leaders of the teams, captains of the team felt like, because that year, after winning the Super Bowl, we were 8-8. We started the year with a losing record. And so it was a lot of things going on. And they felt like that was one of the huge deals happening on the team.
And so I feel like I need to ask you, because Antonio Brown is gone and Le'Veon Bell is gone. Do we believe that the problem with the Steelers is still there?
Le'Veon Bell's problem was money. Obviously, I think Antonio Brown's problem was that he felt like he was the best player on the team. He just didn't realize he played wide receiver, right? Quarterback is the most important position in football, and that's Ben Roethlisberger, who has two Super Bowl championships. And so I don't necessarily think that Ben is the root of the problem between those two guys, but he does have to do some things differently if this team is to win this year. And all eyes will be on him and Coach Thomas.
So there you go. You heard it right there from Ryan Clark. Obviously, Big Ben is not, you know, the A1 citizen. He's a guy that has had to been talked to by his own teammates and said that, hey, your leadership skills need to be better. So when AB says he has issues with them, clearly there's more going on than just Antonio Brown being a diva wide receiver, you know. And now Ryan Clark did say that Le'Veon Bell was more about money. Antonio Brown was about being the best player on the team, but he plays wide receiver. But still, there was obviously something missing there. And I think that Ryan Clark alluded to that. And look, some guys just need a new change of scenery. Some guys just need to get out of a bad environment and get into a good one. You know, when I was in Fresno, California, I'll tell you straight up, even though I was there with my son, I was in a bad place. I was in a place that I felt like I had to get away from. For me to be on my A game, I had to vacate that area and go somewhere else just for my sanity. Now, some people might say that, oh, that guy's a bum, or that guy's this, or that guy's that. I had to do that for me, because if not, who knows where things would have gone, how things would have gone. Now I'm a lot older than I was, and my son's mom is a lot older than she was, and so things probably would not be as crazy now if I happen to be in Fresno or happen to be around her, because we're both a lot more mature. But at a certain point, you may have to kind of vacate the area just for your own sanity, just for you not to do nothing stupid or the other party do something stupid. That's how it happens sometimes when you have a baby mama, or you know what I mean? Like, it happens that way sometimes. I'm 42 now. I've been in Texas since 2010. So what would that be? Carry the one, drop the, do this, divide by 12. Oh, so I was like 32 or 33. So it's not, you know what I mean? So I was a lot younger. And you know, like I said, not quite as mature, and I'm a lot more mature, and I see things a lot clearer now. So who knows? Maybe that's what AB needs. We'll see. We'll absolutely see. Right now, everything he's saying seems right. Everything he's doing seems right. Now, he's got a 3-year contract. Maybe the next 3 years will be great for the Raiders, and maybe he won't have any problems. Maybe he'll have a few dust-ups. Who knows? But one thing's for sure, the head coach loves the new player. The starting quarterback of the Raiders loves the new player. And everything I've seen, the players that are currently on the team love the new player. So I welcome AB into Oakland with open arms. I think everything's going to work out just fine. I think he has something to prove. He wants to catch Jerry Rice. That's a great lofty goal to have. Sometimes you need that in life. You need other plateaus that you want to achieve. And maybe that's the thing with him. Maybe he wants to go to the Raiders and prove that he could be the dude. And it's not just Big Ben, it's not just the Pittsburgh system that is made him great, but it's also him that made him great. And maybe he wants to prove that and thinks he can get it done with Derek Carr and John Gruden, especially with John Gruden being as smart as he is with that offensive mind. So I just wanted to defend AB a little bit, and I know I've been hard on him myself, but I ain't never attacked his kids and attacked his girl or his baby mama or baby mamas. That don't matter to me. That don't make me no difference. I care about what that dude does on the field, and as long as he's not doing something harmful to his kids or his girl, Tyreek Hill, I just, you know, hey, handle your business. You're okay with me. So I had to get that off my chest. Coming up in segment number 3, calls at that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. That's next.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, segment number 3 today on the Locked On Raiders podcast. Your boy Q, you can always find me on Twitter at your boy Q254, or you can always hit up the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Let's get things started right now, quick, fast, and in a hurry. Brother Marquise in the 305 talking free agency, what his thoughts were on what the Raiders were doing. He also talks about the one guy he'd want to sit down with at a bar and have a drink or two with. Here he is, Brother Marquise in the 305.
Raider Nation, it's your brother, Brother Marquise calling. For a couple reasons. One, because, wow, what a start to free agency, huh?
Woo!
I mean, Tyrell Williams, A.B., LaMarcus Joyner, Trent Brown. I mean, that's a fun start, guys. I'm curious to know how much more we can high salary guys that earn it. I think the difference is this year we're bringing in good players to make impact, as opposed to a whole bunch of other guys who probably were too old and just filling roster spots. I think we still have holes at left guard, obviously tight end unless we get Jared Cook, and halfback on offense. I think we still got, obviously we got holes with edge rusher. We need to bring in two, maybe even three guys there. Linebacker, probably just one linebacker really, because you're in the nickel so much anyway. So just a coverage linebacker, a legitimate coverage linebacker, whether it's a middle linebacker or outside linebacker, I don't care. And if you're going to be playing LaMarcus Joyner a lot in nickel, you're probably going to need another safety. That's the way I look at it, guys. And other than that, I think our roster's pretty strong in other areas, or at least strong enough. Be interesting to see how many of those holes you can fill in free agency still, and how many of them we'll have to fill in the draft, and how many of them will be left still holes. Finally, I do want to chime in on Victor's question about if I was having at a bar, who I want to drink with. I think you got to go Al Davis. I don't think it's even a question. I think you have to go Al Davis. And to me, if it's Al Davis, I got one question that I have to know the answer to. What is the truth behind what happened with Marcus Allen? Will anybody ever know? I mean, obviously he just claims that Marcus knows what he did. And so I would just love to know, what did Marcus do? That's it, Raider Nation. Brother Marquise out.
All right, good answer right there. Al Davis, and he wants to know one question. What Marcus Allen did to get in his doghouse? I've heard a lot of different theories. I don't know what the truth is, so I'm not going to start spreading no rumors now, but that is a damn good question, Brother Marquise in 305. Definitely appreciate that. Raider Mac, he's up next, calling to talk about the first few days of free agency, what he thinks about some of the early signings, and what these guys can do.
Hey, Raider Nation, Q. This is Raider Mac, I gotta say. Just calling to make some comments about the first few days of free agency. First off, glad to see we were able to sign offensive tackle and Trent Brown. I really think that if Cable doesn't move him back to the right side where Von Miller thinks he's one of the greatest at, we could see some really good consistency from this O-line like we saw back in 2016 days. LaMarcus Joyner, I read an article saying that we could see some movement from him playing in the nickel corner slot as well as safety. And hopefully that means Gruden is going to be targeting Nasir Adderley, the safety out of Delaware that we saw light up the Senior Bowl. Also, the addition of Tyrell Williams, man, what a steal. I thought that we were out of the running after we made that monster trade for Antonio Brown, and only to see that, Williams sees what's happening here, understands the opportunity, and wants to be a part of that. Gruden wasn't kidding last year. A lot of people made fun of him, saying that there's players that want to come to Oakland. Well, we're seeing it, guys. We're seeing Trent Brown, minutes into the legal tampering period, siding with Oakland. It's a great thing. I'm hoping that we go after a veteran edge player, Justin Houston, or maybe even Ezekiel Ansa. Ziggy's not the greatest. He's kind of been injury prone, but he's going to be that veteran presence. And hopefully if we pair Ansa with Arden Key and a couple other edge prospects in the draft, can limit some playing minutes and see some real production out of them. Now for Justin Houston, that's my dream. I called in a few weeks ago saying Trey Flowers Trey Flowers is with the Lions now. So, to me, Justin Houston's at the top of it. So, man, to see him in silver and black would just be a gigantic middle finger to the Chiefs. I love it. Go Raiders.
All right, good stuff right there from my man Raider Mac. Appreciate that call. Corey in Sacramento, he's up next. He talks about who he'd sit down with as far as Raiders, either past or present, and then has a draft question. Here he is, Corey in Sacramento. Quick call.
What up, Q? This is Corey from Sacramento. Hey, man, I just wanted to say I don't call in at all, but I listen to the podcast all the damn time. I'd sit down with any one of the Raiders that want to sit down with me, man. I'm bull with anybody. But how about this? In the draft, I mean, since we're just somehow accumulating all these damn draft picks, sorry about the language. What happens, you know, we get there and Kyler Murray drops down to 4. Do you still take the pass rusher or do you try to get the Giants on the phone, try to see if we can pick up another first round draft pick, you know, lose somebody? I mean, could you imagine 4 or 5 picks in the first round? Anyways, man, can't wait to hear this.
All right, Corey, good call. I think the Raiders really hope to find a trade partner and move down, but if they don't, I think they let Kyler slide by them, get a defensive stud. Unless the rumors are true, unless the reports are true that they're really, really in love with Kyler, then I think that they have no reason for him. AB and Carr have a damn good relationship. No reason to mess with that, but Corey, I definitely appreciate that call. Now, B.A. Raider, he's in New York. He's calling to talk about the AB press conference and a few things that Antonio had to say that caught his attention. Here's B.A. Raider in New York.
Hey, Q, it's your boy, B.A. Raider, representing that Raider Nation New York. Real quick, there's another guy, B.A. Raider from Virginia. Last Friday they called. I guess we're going to have 2 B.A. Raiders on this show from now on, but I can't be mad at him. He made some good points. I just wanted to quick hit on a couple things that Antonio Brown said yesterday during the press conference. One of the things he said that stuck out to me, that he wants to catch Jerry Rice, be better than Jerry Rice. Dude, that's a lofty goal right there. That's something you cannot stop working for if you want to achieve that. You know, I was a little nervous about giving them all that money, but if you got goals like that in life, there ain't no way you're going to stop working. And then another thing was he said he's going to help hold the other receivers accountable. And that's something that we haven't had in a long time. So that's something that's going to be really important to this team. And this is a dude that had one drop last year. I don't know how many drops we've had in the past, I don't know, 3 seasons, but it's gotta be close to 30. Like, that's ridiculous. So I just hope that he does everything he says he wants to do, and, hey, sky's the limit for DC with this guy in his back pocket. Let's bring back Cook, bring back Lynch. I can't even imagine how you're gonna cover Jordy Nelson if he's your third receiver, so I hope to hang on to him, and, keep it real, Raider Nation. I'm out. Oh, Q, I love what you do, man. Thanks for keeping us up to date. I listen to your show every day. Keep it real, buddy. Bye.
Great call, my man. Good to hear from you again. Tom from Escondido, California. He's up next calling about Quantum Raiders' idea about swapping picks with the Cardinals. You know, so they get what they want and the Raiders get what they want. They get Murray, the Raiders get Bosa. Here's a quick call from Tom in Escondido, California.
Hey, Q, this is Tom from Escondido, California. I just heard Quantum Raiders theory on the old Manning Rivers swapperoo from 2004 to get Nick Bosa to the Raiders, and that is an awesome idea. Matter of fact, we should keep it quiet a little bit, but that's an old trick, and I think it'd be a great one to stick it to the 49ers, and each team gets what they want. So even they could swap picks, and maybe we'd give them we'll give them 4, they give us 1, and we agree what they would take, and then perhaps give them a 5th rounder or something like that. That's a play. Out.
All right, good call, Tom. Definitely appreciate that. Up next, my man, Wop. He's calling to talk about Colton Miller and Brandon Parker and how they did on that offensive line in 2018 and why we as fans should be a little easier on these guys. Here's Wop.
Hey, Q, it's Wop. I got something real short and sweet. I'm just hitting back that one guy I was talking about how Colton Miller and Brandon Parker were really bad. They were terrible. Listen, these guys are rookies. That was their first professional season. As far as I can tell and everything that I've seen, these guys were put in the fire. They weren't ready. They were forced to be put in that position. The fact that they went out there, took their lumps, they got back up, to me, that's a success. I mean, even though it wasn't pretty, the losses were bad, and at times Brandon Parker looked horrible, and at times Colton Miller looked horrible, but they were fighting injuries. They're going in the AFC West. They had Bosa. They had D Ford. I mean, Von Miller. They had every pass rusher just eaten up, and they were still knocking them down. Now, you know, a lot of people talk so much crap about our rookies. It's like, man, these guys are coming out of college, going into professional. They had no clue what it was going to be like. And they got a taste of the fire. None of them quit. They kept going. To me, that's a plus. When you can, what other team had all of their rookies playing 90% of the season? That's a lot to expect out of a rookie. And they still did all right in my book. That's all I got to say. You always have a good episode. And I appreciate everything you do. You pop out.
All right, next up is my dude, Vader Raider. He's in the 303. He was calling to talk about the free agent additions the Raiders have made. Also gives a theory of what the Raiders could try and do in the upcoming draft. Vader Raider in the 303.
What's up, Q? It's your boy, Vader Raider, out here in the 303. Trying to get undug out of this snow bomb we got, this snowmageddon we got this past week. Just wanted to chime in on a few things. It is the weekend, so you'll probably hear this on Monday. I like the additions, Q. I'm telling you right now, Raider Nation, we got some people coming in here. I like the J.J. Nelson signing. I like the defensive tackle we got. So we're making moves. We're not standing pat. We're making moves. Heard some theories in the draft, and I'd like to offer a theory if I could. I don't know what you guys think of this, but what if we were to get Rosen and the number one for the number four and a later round pick, and we move up to get Bosa? This way the Cardinals could stick it right to the 49ers. I personally would love it. And it would, but I know we, and of course we wouldn't get Rosen because, you know, he wants to be a starter, but a great backup to Derek. That's what I'm thinking. Anyway, Q, also wanted to address my man, most known unknown. Shout out to you. Chiming in about the Four Horsemen thing, you know, yeah, I feel you on that, bro. I'm a big wrestling fan, and I love those guys back in the day. One of my favorite factions, them and the NWO, you know, those were criminals right there. Those were straight thugs, I'm telling you. But, you know, I know you like to say our assessment on Derek's not wrong. I'm not going to go into that. I know I'm right. My fellow horsemen know I'm right. But, you know, the wins and loss record speaks for themselves. But I will say this, most known unknown, with all these weapons now, I'm thinking DC can start winning us some football games. I'll tell you what, Raider Nation, I'm ready to win some games. And Q, lastly, I just want to say, I don't know about you, but you and I are kind of in the same age group. I'm 45, you're 42. And we've been around to see some Raider season. You know, I've seen all three Super Bowl victories, and you know, I was young, but I still was coherent enough to know what they were. But I'll tell you what, I have never seen in the last 35 years of this team, I've never seen this. And especially the last 25, I haven't seen this since, you know, the first time Gruden was coach. I see us making smart moves. Smart, aggressive, to win a football game. Anyway, Q, hope everybody has a great weekend. I hope you're enjoying your weekend. I'm enjoying mine. Raider Nation, Q, Vader Raider's out.
All right, Vader Raider, you definitely got to be safe out there in that snow, man, that snowmageddon that you called it. But honestly, really, on your question, I don't think that's enough compensation for the Cardinals. Swapping picks plus the Raiders get Rosen, I think they need to get a lot more than that in return from the Raiders. I don't think the Cardinals would go for just that, just to stick it to the Niners. But I like where you're coming from. Also, I don't like Josh Rosen. I'm just not a Josh Rosen guy at all. Even if I have a backup, don't really want him as a backup. So I see your theory, and I see swapping with the Cardinals and maybe them getting who they want and Kyler Murray and the Raiders making sure they get Nick Bosa. But the trade would have to be a lot more lucrative than just swapping picks. You know what I mean? It'd have to be, and especially if Rosen's included as well. So we'll see how it goes. Good theory, though. Good way to think outside the box a little bit. Definitely appreciate that. Raider Nation, you can always chime in and give your thoughts on what Vader Raider and the 303 had to say. 707-654-4693. And we're going to end it today with a call that I don't think was meant for me, but he definitely listens to the Locked On Raider podcast. So, yeah, it was meant for me, but not for me. Yeah, this is Raider New York. He actually called Bill Williamson, or thought he was. It's all good. He's listening and he gives his thoughts, so I don't even care what he calls me. Anyway, he did talk about who he'd like to sit down with and talk football with, either past or present. That was a Raider. Here he is, Raider New York.
Calling Bill Williamson for a Raiders podcast. This is Raider New York. 914-456-7923. Love listening to the podcast. Gentleman just came on and asked if you could have a conversation and a beer with the current Raider or ex-Raider. Who would it be? And he said John Gruden, and you said Al Davis. Those are two great guys to talk to. I would love to talk to one of the old-timers, Jim Otto, Ted Hendricks, or Phil Villapiano, who he's always got something cool to say. Anyway, like listening to the show. I don't know if I even got the right number here, but I'll be looking forward to your next podcast. And Raider Nation, I think we should be pumped. I think Gruden and Mayock have a vision. I think Gruden had a vision, but everybody wanted to beat him up because of what happened with Mac and Cooper. Mac didn't want to be there. He wanted to be the highest paid player. Cooper never wanted to be a Raider, never was enthusiastic, never acted like he liked being on the team. So I think John Gruden had a lot of decisions to make, and after a season, it looks like he knows what he's doing. And Mayock was an awesome addition. Anyway, Raider Nation.
All right, great stuff right there. Great stuff. Lots of good calls right there. And again, I apologize for not having a Monday episode or a Friday episode. A few of you folks actually reached out to me by Twitter or a text message and, hey, Q, everything okay? Yeah, everything's good. Got crazy busy at work, and then my allergies kicked my tail in a major way, and I'm sure you can still hear my allergies messing with me. It's hard to get sleep, man. When my allergies start really kicking, it's hard to even get some sleep. So sometimes I'm just like out of it and I can't even concentrate, but it's all good, man. We're back in the saddle. Hopefully I don't have any days off. I know it's going to get hectic with March Madness going on and a lot of other things going on at the radio station, but we're going to knock them out and hammer them out as much as possible, getting closer and closer to that April 25th draft. So coming up on tomorrow's show, Melissa Jacobs, at the Football Girl on Twitter. You can go check her out right now. She had a piece out on John Gruden and how she was wrong about what she thought about him when he took over as the Raiders head coach. That's going to be a good conversation. I'm excited about that. She is the founder and managing editor of The Football Girl. Again, you can find her on Twitter at The Football Girl, and I'll be talking to her. That'll be on Wednesday's show. I look forward to that and a lot more Raider Nation. Going to have some more news and notes, obviously, surrounding the silver and black. Have some more calls at that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. That's all coming up on the Locked On Raiders podcast. Until next time, Raider Nation, as always, just win, baby.